How are we doing today, folks? We got some Daredevil news, some Guardians of the Galaxy news, a little bit of Punisher news, and most importantly, a lot of Spider-Man news. Stick around and find out on Marvel Movie News!
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies. And now, here's Popcorn Talk's Marvel Movie News.
Hey, how are we doing today, folks? We have a world of Marvel news to cover, and we are going to get started in just a moment. But first, I want to introduce our guest. This is the one, the only, the Rob Fee with us today in the booth.
Hi.
He is a man of Twitter and hellos. He is with us today, and I want to welcome you. You can follow us on iTunes at YouTube. That's not how iTunes works, but you can follow us on iTunes and also find us on YouTube.com/popcorntalk. You can follow us on the Popcorn Talk Network, popcorntalknetwork.com. Follow us on Twitter at MarvelNewsPTN or at Popcorn Talk. At Facebook, facebook.com/MarvelNewsShow. Follow us, like us, and if you tweet out a link to our show while we're live, Doom in the booth will retweet you.
Doom demands tweets. And now, also, condolences for both Markia and Matt Key's cars, both of which died.
Tragically this morning.
I had nothing to do with that.
That was my next beat. I just wanted to get through the spiel that Matt powers through, because it is exhausting knowing you have a certain amount of .coms to say. Matt, car died. Markia, car died. Both within an hour of the show, so I am here. Just me and Rob. We got some lovely singles to make us look good. We got good lighting. We got, like, space.
Do you think one of us will die since thing normally happens in threes?
I think we're just... I don't have a car, so... Did you?
No, I mean us as people.
We have to physically die.
One of us has to die.
That's just science.
That's the rule.
That's just how it... Final Destinations.
That is... Has science gone too far?
This is it, guys. Marvel... I now fear this room. This is all over. So, without Matt and Markia, it is myself and Rob, and we have... have a fair amount of Spider-Man stuff to get to, but first we need to address Daredevil. Charlie Cox has said publicly and very excitingly that, quote, he can't do all this alone, and that's to say maybe some teamwork. He's actually going to relinquish some responsibilities. Whatever lessons he learns in the Defenders will then play into, I think, season 3. Now that is very exciting to me, because not only is Charlie Cox talking about season 3, but he's referencing a time after the Defenders. Are you a Netflix Daredevil fan?
Yes. I'm not done with season 2 yet.
Okay.
I love season 1. But what I really find exciting about this is I think that a lot of times these guys, you know, you have a show that takes off and they're like, oh, I've got to be doing every single part of this at all times. And they run themselves to death.
Right.
And you get a season 2 that kind of like is a little shaky. I thought so far season 2 has been great. So the fact that he's realized, like, okay, look, I can't carry all of this by myself. Right. I can oversee it, but give things to... I think that's fantastic.
Well, I love that Charlie Cox is seeing it as, like, an extenuation of his arc. Like,
right.
Like, it's all one big movement. He's one big character. And, like, that character is, like, Catholic guilt and all this stuff. And that's really building up. Like, season 2, you can feel the weight of season 1.
Right, exactly.
So
exactly.
The idea of he's already, before they even filmed Defenders, being like, I feel the weight of season 2.
Yeah. That's like, great.
I'm excited. I think he's one of the better, more surprising castings we've had.
I like him.
I think he's perfect. I just, going into it, I was like, Stardust guy?
I know.
Like, I trust Marvel, but he was one of the ones where I didn't know a lot of his work. He didn't look like how I thought Daredevil would look, but every single quote he has, all of his interviews, that Funko thing, did you see the thing he did?
No, what was that?
He asked for, like, a couple of Daredevil standees to give out to fans and, like, you know, donate and stuff, and they sent him, like, an entire case, and there's a picture of him just, like, falling into hundreds of Funko Daredevils. And something about, like, that level of endearing towards your fans while being this dark and, like...
Yeah, I mean, I feel like any time that I'm like, oh, that guy makes sense as casting in this, or that woman makes sense, it's not as good. It's always the unexpected person that kind of, you know, they do their own thing with it. They show you an aspect of them that you never really imagined, and it normally turns out fun.
Because if it's linear, you're like, oh, I know X, Y, and Z what they're going to do.
Right,
I know
exactly.
Every single beat they'll play.
Yes.
Whereas, like, Brie Larson, I'm really excited because she's an indie darling, and now she's Captain Marvel.
The only thing I hope in the next season of Daredevil is that they pull one thing from the movie, and that's to play a lot more Evanescence. There's not nearly enough Evanescence in the series as there was in the movie.
Colin Farrell needs to come in. He needs to be... No, I realized, I had the epiphany the other day that Colin Farrell, Hitman, short hair,
right,
can't miss, taken out by Batman, which is played by Ben Affleck.
I know.
It seems like Deadshot.
Yeah, I know Deadshot all over again.
Because, like, I didn't put that together until, like, I was, like, looking at the cast of Daredevil. And I was like, all right, that was Ben Affleck. Like, right. This is a very linear parallel. So now I'm thinking Deadshot for Bullseye. Bring it all full circle.
Do
season
it.
3. Will Smith, we're calling you out.
It's sort of amazing how much this series has done to make us forget that that movie actually happened.
I will never forget that movie happened. I refuse to let it go.
Well, like the other day, I was listening to, or I've been reading a Marvel, Marvel Comics, The Untold Story, and they finally got to like the modern years where they're doing all the movies, and they mentioned like, oh yeah, and then they got the Daredevil movie made. It's like, oh yeah, that happened. That was a thing. I didn't imagine it.
I watched it again not that long ago, and it's so over the top and silly. Like, there's a part where Ben Affleck is in court. And there's a criminal that's like clearly lying, you know, and he's
Julio,
just like,
right?
Yeah. No, it was, I can't remember the guy. He's a character actor that you see in everything, but he's like, yeah, I killed the broad. What are you going to do about it? Like, just, you know, very over the top. And Ben Affleck is standing there holding his cane and just like grinding it. And he's like, you son of a, and like, you can, it's so, if that
was
man,
superhero movies then.
Yeah, if that man died right after, you'd be like, oh, it was the attorney that was just that freaking just out about him in court. Obviously.
That's the whole movie.
Right,
and the director's
right.
cut is 3 hours of that. Like, there's a 3-hour version of him. Like, there's a 20-minute scene of him just like in his dark, like, coffin cabin room. And like,
wait, there's really a director's cut of that?
Have you never seen it?
No.
It's that Coolio wasn't a joke. There's a Coolio director's cut wherein Coolio has an entire subplot.
So what that tells me is that Coolio was going to be in this and got cut out completely.
Completely excised. Like, there's an entire 20-minute courtroom subplot with Coolio. The Coolio.
Man.
Dude, next time you're hanging from Daredevil.
I mean, I'm watching it today.
Yeah,
like, without a doubt.
It brings it from, like, a D to a weird C-. It's an almost watchable film, the director's cut.
That is a wonderful endorsement.
Now you know.
It's a C-.
Watchable. Doom, have you seen the director's cut?
I have it. On Blu-ray, and
yeah.
I have yet to bring myself to watch it.
Next time you're hankering, man, I think it's a much better film, and it's so impossibly early 2000s. The director's cut is even
right.
more like nu metal angst.
Well, even the old Spider-Man, when you go back, I mean, that movie made $1 trillion
yeah.
dollars, but if you go back and watch it, like, it's kind of corny. Yeah. You know, it's very like
tongue in
the
cheek.
The CGI is very heavy. And
he's
like
swinging Mary Jane, where it's clearly a. Do you know the scene I'm talking about?
She
where he's clearly a mannequin, like Spider-Man's a mannequin, and she's like, "Oh my goodness!" Like, she just put her on. Like, that's a beautiful thing.
It is, but like, Tobey Maguire's not funny at all in it. Like, Spider-Man's so fun. Was it you and I talking about
yeah.
that? Or
how,
yeah,
how he's not yeah. written like comedy. He's just like kind of.
Yeah,
a guy?
He's just very. He's like, well, Ben died, and. The cold is going to take,
and he just yells stuff. His comedy is just yelling things
right,
out.
Right,
like, but I think that like, and Spider-Man 2 is a great film, but it's not Spider-Man. Like, it's a really strong.
Right,
but I think we had to get through those movies to get to where we are now.
Agreed, and it's so. I mean, he feels like he just survived the Oregon Trail. Like, everything is so just. Downtrodden.
That's why 3 is so weird when he breaks into dance, because you're like,
when he
what
turns
trilogy?
Into Fallout Boy.
Yeah,
yeah,
what have I experienced to get to this point?
That was so. Imagine how many people had to watch that before and be like, yes. That's
how many people had to sign off when
it
was on paper? People
right.
were like, and then he breaks into dance. Yep.
I mean, I could see it on paper making sense, being like, oh, he finds this new sense of self-confidence, and it is just coming through his pores. He's
yeah.
so calm. But instead, they're like, he went to Hot Topic and got really into My Chemical Romance.
But
I mean, that's the very definition of what happens when you have somebody doing a character that they don't really care about.
Right,
Sam Raimi was not shy about saying he didn't want to do the Venom story in Spider-Man 3, but the studio, because they knew fans wanted it, sort of forced him into it.
Yeah.
And so you wound up with this, like, you're like, that's not...
That's
it's Topher Grace.
Yeah.
Also, call yourself Christopher or Chris. No one believes your name is Topher.
Sorry, Topher. Nobody goes by
I'm
Topher.
Not calling a human being Topher.
Especially when he went through his, like, bearded, edgy Topher phase.
Oh,
I'm like, your
God.
Name's Topher? And
it sounds
that's
like,
another thing.
It sounds like a Cafe Gratitude appetizer. I'm going to have the Topher.
Thank you, as you wish. So, yeah, I think that those movies, including Daredevil, got us to where we are today, and I thank them.
Absolutely.
But, man, I'm glad it's a new phase. Speaking of next phase, Ant-Man and the Wasp, very little news but very exciting news, a very assumed bit of news. Michael Pena is confirmed to come back.
I'm so happy about that.
It's everyone wanted it. I'm just glad it's now official, because there's always that little risk that they're like, you know, it didn't work the best part of the movie.
Right, right, right.
Like, yeah, Michael Pena stole the show, and our friend Anna Akana with that little beat at the end.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
I love that so much, because I didn't know, like, where she was going to pop up, and then all of a sudden, like, her speaking Michael Pena words was, like, right. Everything I wanted.
Yeah. He was so great in that. I feel like he's been one of those for years, has been great, but no one recognized him or he gave it a second thought.
Well, End of Watch is, like, so good. Yeah. I thought that was his breakout, and that was, like, 10 years ago.
Can you pull up his IMDb and just see?
He's just killing it.
Is that?
He's been in a ton of stuff at this point. Yeah. But, like, I'm excited to see him back. I'm just excited to see Ant-Man in the news at all, because it's been very quiet.
Ant-Man's his guy.
I think that. How do you feel about Paul Rudd in that? Do you like him as Ant-Man?
He's fine as Scott Lang. Like, he did a great job. I had a lot of issues with that movie that were not. None of them were fan related. Right, none of them were fan complaints. They were all movie complaints.
Gotcha.
So I'm very excited for what they're going to do when they can actually go in and just make a movie themselves instead of having to quickly rewrite
someone else's film with their injections.
Get rushed into production.
Known for is incredible. The Martian, Shooter, Fury, End of Watch. Like,
He's great.
81 credits.
That's great. And he's wonderful and all.
Yeah. And he just kills. And he's not like 81 credits. He was born in 1976. He's not an old guy. 81 credits is incredible.
He's doing the rounds.
Yeah. And he's always like the guy that steals the show. So I'm really glad that Ant-Man gave him a little more than a lot of other movies did. Like, he wasn't like 5 minutes. He had like a full.
I think Ant-Man might be my favorite superhero movie of the last like 5 years.
Wow.
I enjoyed it a lot. And I'm almost to the point to where I'm like, let's slow down on some of the, you know what I mean? Like, we're just cranking them out so much. And I'm like, man, this one got me excited for everything else. Like,
that's good. That revamped you.
Yeah, it did. I thought Paul Rudd was so fun in it. And believable. You know, I thought it was, I thought it was funny without it being forced. It wasn't like they were like, well, we need a joke here. Stick a joke in there. Like, it just felt natural.
It felt like a Paul Rudd comedy that just happened to have superheroes as a plot.
Yeah.
I liked that about it.
Or the other way around.
Right. It didn't. When I left the theater, I was like, I didn't just experience the same superhero movie.
Right.
And I like that. And I think this next one has an even better chance of being that because it's its own writers. It's like becoming its own movie.
And you've already got it established. Like, we already have the characters established. They don't have to do the introduction thing. Right. And they can just jump straight
and the Wasp can actually be in it now,
right?
Because my god, that was one of the things about me, is it felt like they were like almost letting her be the Wasp the whole movie. You're like, remember that time the Wasp was as important as Ant-Man? She'll stand over there.
Yeah.
And the whole movie they're like, she can do it better,
right?
Why didn't she do it?
Then do
she
it.
Can do it better.
Yeah.
So I'm excited for I love that the title is Ant-Man and the Wasp, because the whole first movie felt like Ant-Man and the Wasp, so I'm glad that
they're acknowledging
it, but they left her out of They left her out of it, so they had to leave her title out of it.
Yeah, so exactly. This movie, they're like, and we learned.
I'm excited to see, like, what Michael Pena's role is in this team, though.
Oh, yeah.
Like, That's a good point.
Is he going to be... Because they're not going to... I mean, they're not necessarily going to do, like, a heist the same way, where he's, like, a criminal.
Right.
So is he going to be, like, their base guy? Like, equipment manager?
Oh, that'd be funny. I want T.I. back, because I feel like T.I. did nothing in the first film, and I loved that about him, because I was like, T.I.'s here. Cool.
I just hope there's a scene where they're getting ready and Evanescence is playing in the background.
Rob V. single-handedly trying to bring back Daredevil-era superhero films through the power of Evanescence.
I'm really just the marketing director for Evanescence.
I can't tell if you're joking or not.
It's a terrifying world we live in. Moving on to Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Mallory Janson has been confirmed to play a life model decoy. That's exciting to me. That's a very specific deep geek cut. Like, life model decoys are not something that we could have gotten away with up until 2016.
No, and I felt like in the comics it was such a common thing. Like, every time somebody died, it was like, nope, decoy.
New
it
writers.
It happened every time.
And there was that joke in Iron Man. Was it Avengers or Iron Man? It was either Avengers 3 or Age of Ultron.
It was the first Avengers.
It was the first one.
He's like, you've reached the life model decoy of Tony Stark.
That's right.
Oh, yes.
And I was like, that's all we'll ever get, and I appreciate it.
Yep.
We're getting a real LMD? That's insane.
I know. It's a great way to bring back characters, too.
Yeah, and it's like such a 70s, like, I don't know, like sensibility. Like,
right,
70s
right,
comic
right.
sensibility. And I can't believe 2016's like, you know, it could exist an android that's that believable as a person. Sign me up.
Yeah, well, it'll be, I mean, it's going to be Ada is who she's playing, mm-hmm. Which is, we got like the briefest glimpse of her through like glass at the end of the season.
Okay.
They were just like LMDs and then they cut. Like, see you in the fall.
It just, it opens up such a weird world. It just, it's like the Pandora's box of like, we no longer have any dependability on logic. Like, right. We can go anywhere.
Right. Everyone's going to die, but they're not going to die.
Like, we have different views on Deadpool, but I think Deadpool did that for all of Fox, where Fox now is like, well, that worked. So they can go like very crazy.
Right.
And this, I feel, is the TV version of that is like, well, this insane thing's go.
Right.
So I think that in itself is exciting, and I hope that things like this get us a Gambit movie that works, because the more we like lean into superheroes just being wonky, we can have characters that wouldn't have worked in the Daredevil era.
Right.
Nowadays.
Do you feel good about the movies that are going to come out inspired by Deadpool?
I feel that Deadpool took 11 years to get made because of the subject matter and because of the type of humor it was. And I feel like some of the jokes felt like they had to add them because of like eight studios were like, I like this joke. No, I like this joke.
Right.
I think the next Deadpool has potential of being even better because they'll be focusing on one movie instead of focusing on 11 years of script.
I gotcha. So I hated Ryan Reynolds in that movie so much.
That's where we disagree, because I remember you and I talked about how much like I came out and like, that made me so happy. You're like, I hate cinema.
And if people love that movie, like I don't want to be like, no, here's why you hate it. But for me, the entire time I was sitting there, I just hated every minute of it. And I think it really ticked me off that Ryan Reynolds makes jokes about Green Lantern in the movie. Cause I'm like, no, you did that. You don't get to make jokes about that. You're the one that did
signed up. You made the money.
You cashed that check and you bought a house with it. You own that. You are stuck with it.
You met your wife there.
Right. Exactly.
You wouldn't have a baby.
Yeah. We get to make those jokes. You don't get to make that joke.
I went into it going like, I really want the broiest sophomoric, like very like inappropriate.
Right.
So when I got exactly that, I was like, I don't know how I feel. Like, when I left that movie, I was as confused as I was happy.
Really?
And I didn't love that movie until, like, 24 hours later.
Right.
Like, it marinated into me. Like, I felt so, like, unemotionally attached that I was like, I don't know what I wanted. But then I loved it, whereas I think you were so viscerally involved during it that there was no saving you by the first 10
minutes. And that's great. I'm glad people, like, I'm glad anytime people love a movie about anything.
And I think it's going to help us, like Ant-Man did.
Yeah,
I think
exactly. That's what I was going to say. Totally.
And as long as the R-rated thing doesn't become for the sake of R-rated, which it hasn't yet.
Yeah, that's one of the things because that's what happened with comedy
right now.
I mean, every comedy is a clone of We're the Millers.
Right.
You know, where it's just the punchline is cursing.
Right.
You know, and it just gets lazy. And that was my fear with Deadpool. I was like, I don't want comic book movies to be like, look how wacky it is.
And
he's jacking off with a unicorn on his head.
And then, like, there was that Suicide Squad moment where there was a unicorn. And I was just like, are we... like, I'm not... trashing Suicide Squad. I was just very confused about that specific of a joke. And I was like, what direction is comedy going if this specific of a joke is also a thing? Like, because they said it was because he was a brony. And I think that's funny because that's a totally different type of joke.
Sure.
But like, if we have two movies that are superhero films with unicorn jokes, I'm like, what?
Yeah.
So I'm really curious where it goes. Like you said, the Judd Apatow thing is very interesting in comedy. Where do superhero movies go now that an R-rated comedy like that exists?
Right. Yeah. I'm hopeful. I'm hopefully optimistic.
That's good. I mean, we're definitely going the right direction.
I agree.
And worth noting, all the people that say I am a Deadpool fanboy, I brought a person I knew didn't like the Deadpool movie on the show today.
I hate Deadpool.
Like, actively, and that's my boy. So that's just that's a fair and balanced.
I love the comics. Don't get me wrong. The comics are fantastic. Movie wasn't for me.
Fair
just
enough.
To wrap up with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. news for those guys who don't know who Mallory Janson is. She's been on Young and the Hungry, Baby Daddy, most recently Gallivant. So she's an ABC sort of just – she's stuck with them.
ABC.
They apparently love Mallory Janson.
I mean, she was on that movie where the guy was holding the baby out from him like, what am I supposed to do with this thing?
What?
And Ada is Ada, who she'll be playing, though never seen as an LMD in the comics as far as I know, was an artificial intelligence. So she'll be working with Dr. Radcliffe, who we saw at the end of the season. I expect he's going to be doing some creepy stuff with her since he basically built himself a girlfriend.
Also very excited that a show like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. exists for people that are like the ABC type superhero thing is so different from the Netflix one and so different from the movies. It makes so many different tiers of fans. It makes me so happy.
I love it. I love that. You're exactly right.
Because I've said before that, like, I kind of don't want X-Men to go to Fox. I want X-Men to have a new team at Fox. But if they go to Marvel, then it becomes like we only... It's one studio putting out everything.
Right.
And that'll ruin, because at most we get 3 movies a year and then it's one.
And then you get the J.J. Abrams Star Wars Star Trek thing where they just kind of feel the same, you know?
Everything looks the same, has the same tone. Yeah. Like, I'd rather something be wrong for a while than get better than something be...
Totally. And I enjoyed the last X-Men movie.
It was a comic.
I know that might be a hot take, but, like, I the last couple, I'd been like, whatever. But, like, maybe I went in with just so low expectations. Right. But I was entertained.
And that's the thing Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. does. It's so different. I'm glad it's separate and an entity that exists. Totally. Because ABC fans love it, and that's good.
Totally.
Now, before we move on, today's episode is brought to you by Blue Apron, and I can personally vouch that Blue Apron is awesome because they sent me food. Have you heard of Blue Apron?
I'm in.
Dude, Blue Apron is this a delivery service that they not only deliver food to you, that has this magical, like, in-box fridge system. Like, it's a cardboard box. This is beautiful. I opened it. It's a fridge inside, but then they send you recipes. So they send you every single ingredient you need, measured out the amount you need, and then how to cook it exactly. So you're making a gourmet meal in your own kitchen.
I love this. Now, that's
not even
much.
That's my phrasing. I'm not even like, that's just like they sent me pork chops, and I made the best pork chops I've ever eaten, much less made.
Oh, man. That's so much better than getting like fast food delivered or something like that.
So it's reasonably priced for the quality of food. It's like Whole Foods quality food, and it comes directly to you, and they literally like send you like the most simple, like, and then do this, like each step, like that's an IKEA package, because I was very hopeless. I made like a lemon green grass burger with like garlic. Like, I made this bomb meal in like half an hour. So I wanted to thank Blue Apron. They're helping us out today. Now, they also have an awesome deal for you guys. So if you check out this week's menu and you get your first 3 meals free, not discount, free, which is insane because that's a $65 value. If you use BlueApron.com/Marvel. So just literally type in Marvel for us, and we'll give you 3 meals of food.
I'm literally doing that. This isn't the banter where you're like, I tried that. Like, I'm literally
going to I read nothing. These were my words. I read the thing at the end so you guys can get free food. The rest was all me. They have a bunch of stuff. All this is true, but I just had my own experience where they were amazing. I even posted on Instagram, which I never do, like, me cooking, like, look at this awesome thing, and I've never felt like more of a seller, but I was like, I support this. I will do this. So blueapron.com/Marvel, get 3 free meals. If you don't want them, order it and give it to a homeless person and cook it and feel like a better person.
Or just send it to me.
Or just send it to Rob.
Either one.
That's either whichever way you want to go. But yeah, Blue Apron, they're great. We thank them.
I'm just kidding. Feed the homeless. Don't.
Hated Deadpool. Feed me not the homeless.
I hate the homeless and Deadpool.
This is for me. I just wanted to thank them real quick and say that I personally can vouch for them being rad. Now back to news. The Infinity War name change. Have you heard about the drama behind this?
I heard a little bit. I didn't. I only saw headlines.
So basically,
tell me about it.
A long time ago, they said the fourth Avengers movie would be Infinity War Part 1 and Part 2.
Right.
Very logical, but up front, I don't think a movie ever is going to be called Part 1 and Part 2. And then they soon came out and were like, no, those are placeholders. This movie's 2020. Give us time. Recently, they've announced that that's going to change, but everyone was like, they canceled the fifth movie. It turned into this giant thing. But like, people looking back a year ago be like, no, they warned us. It's cool.
Right.
So they finally came out with a quote, and they said, quote, "We wanted the movie to be very different and distinctive, you know. There's certainly cross-pollination between characters and some story arcs, but you know, the first movie is very clearly Avengers Infinity War." So that leads me to believe that enough happens in the first movie that it's enough of a complete story that there might be like die-off in the second. Okay.
Right.
And it might be maybe new Avengers, it might be maybe young Avengers. I think enough happens in the first one that it's a part one and part two in the same way that Empire and Return of the Jedi are part one and part two.
Right. I love the format. Like, movies have become TV.
Serialized.
Because all of it is, you don't watch a movie and it's like, well, that was the complete story. It's, well, there's an episode. You know what I mean? We're just watching, like, a year-at-a-time episode.
And I love that for big really movies. Big movie.
Yes.
Indie movies, when they try to do that, it doesn't.
Because you're like, you're not going to get enough money to make another one. Don't
closure.
Do this.
Give me closure. And a lot of the movies I'm enjoying this year are the ones that have that, because it's so weirdly, like, it's not nostalgic. It feels like when you were a kid. So nostalgic. Yeah, it reminds you of, like, when you watch old movies. I'm like, that movie had an ending.
Right.
How quick.
Exactly. Exactly. Oh, Sam Jackson didn't come out after the credits. This
to,
is
to rally up the troops.
Yeah, this is something I haven't seen in years.
Like Hunt for the Wilder People and Swiss Army Man and a lot of the smaller, crazier movies, they had endings and I was like, huh.
It's crazy how many, like at the end of the King's Speech, Sam Jackson comes out and recruits him for the Avengers.
And
it's
he's coming in Infinity War. Movie. He's the part of the Infinity War. You heard it here first, folks.
He's the guy that crashes the car into, what's his name, at the end of No Country for Old Men.
Yep, there he is.
And he's like, I've got
he's
going to
play Black Bolt because of his stutter, so he doesn't speak. And that makes it a thing. Right. So it's not a lot of news. It's just pretty exciting. They finally had a statement. I think it makes sense. And now the most interesting part of Infinity War, did you hear Vin Diesel?
No.
So Vin Diesel, the king of secrecy, Vin Diesel. I love that Vin Diesel, no matter what studio he's working for, cannot possibly keep a secret.
Oh, absolutely
he's
no
on Facebook,
secrets.
Just like on set with like spoilers happening behind him, just like, I love my fans. And I love that about Vin Diesel, but at the same time, poor Marvel. Like, Marvel has to cover so many bases, keep everything secret, and they've got like this running jacked liability. They've got this guy that's just like social
times.
Media. So we love you, Vin, but this is crazy. Vin came out and said, quote, what's going to be surreal is that picture is going to come to pass because now the Guardians will be included in Avengers Infinity War. Long ago, he took a picture in front of Avengers Infinity War when he was talking to Marvel and is now saying through no uncertain terms that will come to pass. The Guardians will be included in Avengers Infinity War. And that's incredibly exciting, incredibly exciting, incredibly exciting. And something that if you're a part of our page, you knew before everybody. He told his Facebook fans.
Why would, the biggest spoiler. Does he think only like the people that are subscribed to that
they won't
see
talk
it?
About it?
That's a, why would he do that?
I think that Vin is like that guy that's at the party and you like tell him a secret and he's so proud of being the guy that knows the secret.
Right.
And like I think it's exciting that he's so excitable because he's like the biggest, like he's a D&D geek.
Sure.
Like, so I think he just wants to be the guy that's like, I told my fans.
I don't understand anything he does. Have you seen the videos of him doing karaoke of Rihanna?
Yeah, dude.
That he
going
puts on
at it.
Yeah.
I love the ones where he makes wallpapers of himself or posts the wallpapers of himself. And he's just like in front of a sunset. Just like.
It's so bizarre. Like, I'm fascinated by him, but I don't know if it's in a good or bad way.
He's got the
I think it's
thing.
A good way.
He's got the thing where I'm like, you're a person.
Yeah.
What
yeah.
does your brain go like?
Right.
And like, because he seems like the coolest guy to talk to, but then he's just like, I signed 18 NDAs a week.
Right. Exactly. And I love him. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah, no, same.
Fast
same.
And Furious is the greatest franchise in the world.
It's my favorite action franchise next to Lethal Weapon. And
absolutely.
That's, and that's a hard, that's a, but like, Vin Diesel's amazing. I just love that he, they've been trying to keep
but
this so secret.
Exactly. And it's not like the movie comes out in a week.
No. It's
years
not like there's teasers.
Away.
They haven't filmed it. There's barely a script. And Vin Diesel's like, let me give you the third act. So I thought that was really funny. Because
he's like, I'm in this movie, The Sixth Sense. Bruce Willis is dead the whole time.
I die in The Sixth Sense, and I'm Bruce Willis. Like, it's
I
just
died, and only Haley Joel Osment can see me.
We start filming next week.
Exactly.
So, yeah, he all but said, or he did say, that that's going down. So I thought that was funny, and looks like Chris Pratt gets to hang out with the Avengers.
There you go.
Pretty
sorry
excited.
For the spoiler on the 1999 movie, The Sixth Sense. You haven't got a chance to watch it in the last couple of decades.
We're
my
sorry.
Apologies.
Catch up. Check it out. It's a good movie.
Yeah.
Punisher. Casting for Microchip is said to be in process, which is exciting for me because Microchip is one of the weirdest, like, side henchmen team up. Like, it's a very specific character that I'm curious what version of which they'll play.
So I haven't watched Punisher, and I don't know that franchise at all. So tell
it's,
me
Punisher's
about it.
The next thing following Daredevil season 2. You're into it enough, you know, like jumping
right,
balls,
right.
whooping ass, and like dealing with stuff. So basically, all of that did so well. They were like, maybe Punisher, maybe, and then they greenlit the Punisher show. So
gotcha,
it's going to be its own show. John Bernthal, a whole great team. Microchip is a hacker / mercenary gun supplier that works with Punisher. So he's kind of like,
he's like the guys on Pawn Stars.
He's yeah, exactly. He's kind of Punisher's weasel.
Okay.
Like,
gotcha.
You know, that kind of guy. So, but what's going to make that interesting is like how they won't make him Weasel. Like we just had Deadpool with Weasel.
True.
So like we have a, you know, similar gun dealer type of character,
yeah.
But it's on Netflix. So it's going to be dark and gritty. And like, that's a very hard character to get right.
Right,
in
right,
my
right.
opinion, because it's so easy to have like the show's about gun nuts and the show's like
it's
you lose
very
morality
easy.
Quickly.
It's very easy to make that just like a caricature.
Yeah,
of that.
And like one of our fans was saying that like it's a really tricky time to be making shows about pro gun.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
you're
yeah.
adding a literally arm supply dealer as yeah. a sidekick.
Exactly. Yeah, that's tough. My buddy has a show, Shooter, based on the Marky Mark movie from your. Is he still going by Marky Mark?
I think sometimes. I don't know if you say it to his face, but I think.
But they, I mean, they keep postponing it yeah. because it's a show called Shooter.
And the billboard is him with gun. Like right, it's very right. like this is one thing.
Right. And I don't know. I mean, I get being sensitive about that, but at the same time, like, it's kind of weird to be like, well, this show doesn't exist anymore.
Right.
You know,
after the billboard went up. Like, you can't hide a thing that yeah. like you've seen. And it's also like, I get the sensitivity, but I also think that they sure. can be, I think this will, since it's happening after that sensitivity has already been established, we'll be shaping it totally. Around that. It's just very interesting that we're having a show about a guy with a gun taking out bad guys.
Yeah.
I think actually the Punisher is, I think it'll be best if they lean into that. Much yeah. the way that Mike Coulter was talking about Luke Cage, like it's they just happened into the best time to have a black man who could not be hurt by bullets.
Right, right,
right.
Like this is the perfect time to have a show where you're calling into question what it is to be somebody with a gun now, and all the
that's
like,
true.
Somebody who's trying, like in theory, like Frank Castle is generally trying to do good,
mm-hmm.
but what like what does that mean? Like at this point in time, like somebody with a gun trying to do good does not necessarily mean they're doing good.
Right. It's and it's all the eye of the beholder, especially when it comes to guns.
Who do you think Frank Castle is voting for? I'm just kidding.
And Enfi. We in the live chat, Alan Sizzler Kessler just reminded me that there was once a comic based around Punisher's weapons. There was full comic about his weapons. Not even Microchip, not even Punisher. There was like a love letter to weapons because the 90s was crazy. Good deep pull, Alan. That's true. So yeah, I just think it's interesting. I'm glad they're casting. It's an important character. Also, just hearing about casting of that, like you're in the middle of the show.
Right.
He's so good.
I think the only thing that would make it better for me is if there was a little more evanescence.
I think there's an evanescence set of the show more that has been said since 2006. We're going to like single-handedly bring them back today. So I'm excited for Punisher. It's moving along. And Guardians of the Galaxy. We have new concept art that I'm pretty stoked for because it seems full crazy. Like the scope of the images we have are just so grandiose. And James Gunn knows this world. Guardians, I think, is one of the best Marvel movies because it felt unlike anything I'd experienced before.
Remember when it was coming out a couple months before and they were like, this is going to be the first Marvel movie that bombs.
Yeah,
like,
everyone.
This is going to be like, the one that nobody likes. That, like,
character-wise, no characters anybody knows. And then it broke all the records.
It's been the biggest one. I mean, as far as just like...
genre redefining.
Yeah. I mean, it may not have made as much money,
but it broke
like,
that month's records. And
the
it also...
Yeah, just like the impact it made was tremendous.
It was... I mean, I hate to be this broad, but it felt like our Star Wars. It felt like what I wanted the original trilogy to be.
You're exactly right.
And that's crazy that like we're like, oh, these Guardians of the Galaxy. Like, so this is the first image. We don't know exactly who this character is, which in itself to me is exciting. This isn't like someone that I just don't have a reference to. This is someone we don't necessarily know. You were telling me before that James Gunn was kind of saying
he was tweeting about it. Someone was tweeting him and asking him if this was a bad guy or good guy, and at first he put we don't know, and they was like, tell me something. So he said he's bad with the option, with the possibility of being good.
I can lean into that with that look. Like, that's a terrifying creature. It'd be cool to have, like, one heroic moment and then...
You know what I think is so... I think what made Guardians of the Galaxy work so well is that there weren't... They didn't have expectations.
Right.
You know, it wasn't like, here's how this has to go. Mm-hmm. If I don't see this... I'm going to be pissed.
Right. It's not a team we know. It's right. not character. And it's not even the original Guardians team. It's literally a team right, they've exactly. assembled for this. So no fans can be mad.
So they got to make a movie. Right. They didn't have to just interpret exactly their source material. They got to have fun with it. Well, and I think benefits, it really came through.
100%. It looked like the most fun set ever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then it had all the benefits of the Marvel brand without the hindrance of the Marvel brand.
Yep.
Because it exists,
and they really didn't have anything to lose. I mean, everybody was like, this movie's going to tank.
Right.
So they're like, screw it, let's have fun with
it.
And
now Guardians 2 is like one of the most hyped because of how like that became.
So that's why I'm curious to see how it is, because now that pressure is on that was on all the other ones. Probably more. Because,
I think much more.
Yeah.
Because I think this is going to be way more hyped than Thor Ragnarok because of what Thor 1 and 2 were, but they both have that same tone of like...
Well, and plus, I mean, Thor wasn't anywhere as big as Guardians.
Which is crazy because it's Thor.
Exactly, but it just doesn't feel...
The scope.
I mean, yeah, it just doesn't feel like as big of a thing.
The chat has some fun theories on what the monster is.
Oh, yeah?
What somebody do we got? Thinks it's the Demogorgon.
Yes, that's
fine. A few people think it might be from the Cancerverse.
Ooh, that's an interesting idea.
Which would be a bizarre pull.
Yeah.
Or even somebody said the Brood, but I don't think they're going to go there this early.
I don't think they'll go there, not in Fox. Fox probably owns it.
That would be fun.
It would be awesome.
I think I saw a rumor that this was going to be like right at the top of the movie, this fight.
Like the open?
Yeah. So I think it could just be a monster. Like, not bad, not good. Just like an animal that they have to, is out of control.
And then it ties in later on, like the, you remember the big worm in Men in Black?
Yeah.
Like, some of it. Just some big monster that comes back around. That works.
I love the trope of opening a movie with a big fight. Like, I love when it's like, remember how awesome!
Right in the middle of the fight, Yeah,
Fast and Furious did that great. Every opening of Fast and Furious is just like, this is crazy!
Yep.
I like the idea of that just being the open for them. And then we also have, while talking Guardians, Aisha as the villain. Elizabeth Debicki's alien Alicia is hungry for vengeance after they stitch her up early in the piece and has an army to help her on that mission. That makes sense. We haven't heard anything to conflict that. That seems like a logical thing for her to do. And James Gunn also said, quote, then there's Yondu and his Ravagers still in the picture, but is dealing with the woes of their own. So that to me sounds interesting, that there's a separate like subplot that is largely Ravager based. Cause I know they cast a bunch of Ravagers, including, Jimmy Urine of Mindless Self-Indulgence, which is very exciting for me personally. But the idea of a subplot with Ravagers, I think is great. Cause I mean, I think every time we had Yondu on screen, he stole the show.
Yeah. I mean, I was thinking about this looking at that monster. My only complaint about Guardians whatsoever is that the more they go, the less likely I'll ever get a Slither sequel from James Gunn.
I mean, that might be your Slither sequel. That's that shot close. Might be your Slither
I saw
moment.
That monster and I'm like, oh, James Gunn doing monsters again. And
man,
that's,
I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. I don't think we'll get another super either.
I know.
I mean,
won't.
To go from those to that, I'm so proud of him, dude. Like, just a $20 million.
And he did Dawn of the Dead, which is as good as the original.
Which is saying a lot.
Which is saying a lot.
And to Marvel's just, like we were saying with casting, they're the same with their directors. To just swoop up and grab a guy that, like, has shown he's good at work, but we don't have an already established opinion of.
Right, exactly. Exactly. I like that.
And that's why Star Wars Guardians is what it was. Thor Ragnarok, we have new behind-the-scenes picks, which are awesome. So we're going to pull those up and go through them, because they are... The sight of Loki back on set, I love Tom Hiddleston. I love his dynamic. I think he's far and away the strongest part of the Thorverse. So to see him in this insane black suit with a country western Canadian Thor there, very exciting to me.
And the craziest part is Vin Diesel took all these pictures and posted them on his Instagram.
Just for his fans. Just for his Facebook fans. This is one of my favorite ones of just casual Loki and Thor hanging out at the newsstand. Because that looks like it could be both a set photo or just a scene that happened offset, like a block away.
Right.
The papers in the back are all like in-world.
Oh, are they?
Stuff. It says like hammer attack, and it looks like it's like somebody dressed up as Thor, but not Thor, because it looks yellow.
Ooh.
Has Thor returned? God of Thunder strikes it up with Lady Justice. I don't know who they're trying to say he's striking it up with.
I would hate to live in the universe that the Avengers lives in. There are so many massive
dangers,
terror attacks
all the time.
Constantly.
Oh, that's probably the Statue of Liberty. They're in New York.
Yep.
Is he dating the Statue of Liberty in this?
He is Lady Justice.
He probably strikes it with a bolt of thunder and breaks it, let's be honest. And then it says this more stuff there. It says Times Square murder.
Ooh.
Across a bunch of them. And villain Loki spotted. Is it him or simply a blank?
Huh.
And then Thor's in the way.
So, I mean, Loki being back in the public eye is interesting. That's another interesting side note, that he's, like, part of the world enough that people know who he is. He's Prince
of the newspaper. I thought he would remain a little more low-key.
Oh,
cross out of here, folks.
And that's it. He's going to go listen to Evanescence. He's got dimples. Well, last we saw Loki, he was in Asgard as Odin. Like, he took over Odin's spot. So that's going to be interesting.
Yeah, speaking of Odin, we get one interesting set photo.
I am intrigued. This is the only set photo I haven't seen because it dropped today.
If it wants to load.
That might happen.
Because Anthony Hopkins.
Oh, that's amazing.
Spotted on set, looking...
Full crazy.
Full crazy homeless man. So is this where, Odin is?
Ooh, I love the fallen god idea.
Oh, yeah.
Plus this director, his sense of humor, that would totally make sense. Like to have like Odin as a hobo on the streets, nobody believes him.
Loki has gotten a lot of promotions considering he has behaved very poorly.
Very poorly. Not the most behaved fellow.
Like, if you look at that on paper, that is a terrible choice to run anything. Yeah.
But hey, you know, Tom Hiddleston. Now, the most important picture of all from this entire setup, and it is a real shame that Matt Key, the biggest Doctor Strange fan in the world, isn't here to announce this. There is a shot of Chris Hemsworth holding a business card. Now, this is a very staged photo, which makes me wonder how this image got out. Because there is no paparazzi in the world capable of necessarily getting a piece of paper that small.
They had a 500mm lens.
Yeah, they had something crazy.
You've clearly never seen Enemy of the State.
Oh, that's true. With Jason Lee's Enemy of the State. Now, this card is very special because it reads the address of 166A Bleecker Street. Now... Is Doctor Strange in this movie? Is this an Easter egg that ties the world in? Is this something that is a post-credit scene? Is this something that's going to like set up something that's like a third act thing? This picture raises more questions than any yet. And it's also just exciting that they somehow got a picture of a business card.
Yeah, that's such a staged photo.
You know what I mean?
No one has ever held a business card. Like, well, Let me get my monocle here and look at the paparazzi standing.
I know I'm the specimen that is Chris Hemsworth, but I need reading glasses.
Yeah, my genetics are perfect, but my eyes, my God.
What do we have here?
I mean, Ragnarok's after Doctor Strange, so it's very possible that if they find homeless Odin, like, mind-wiped on Earth, Thor has to go to down to Bleecker Street to get him fixed. Or maybe even get him back to Asgard.
Did Matt mistype the Q that says... It's 177, isn't it? Because Matt typed 166, and I feel like I've betrayed my fellow geeks.
The card says 177A...
Okay, I'm sorry, guys. Somebody typed 166 in my cues, so they should have read the paparazzi photo.
Oh, you are getting yelled at so hard.
Yeah, the internet's all over. I just, like, betrayed Dr. Strange himself. Can't host the show anymore, guys. So that's exciting. I'm stoked. I love the idea of either them tying it into the world or even just an Easter egg or, you know, maybe Dr. Strange. Either way, them tying it in, I think, is brilliant because Dr. Strange is such a weird character that they need as much setup as possible.
Yeah, and I feel like the Thor universe needs that.
To tie.
Yeah.
Because
it's
a little extraneous.
It is. It's very just, they don't have that kind of like wacky sort of wild card type character. And I think it'll help.
Yeah. And I think that we only see Thor as an Avengers when he was with the Avengers. I think having him as an Avenger in his own movie helps.
And Natalie Portman's not back. So, have nothing to live for.
Life's a lie. She had a baby and she's like, I'm not done Marvel anymore.
I still love you though.
I love Natalie Portman. Maybe not as Jane, but she's great. Now, the biggest news of the week for me and for America and for racists everywhere, Zendaya is playing Mary Jane in Spider-Man Homecoming, according to the rap. Now, this is not confirmed by Marvel. This hasn't been confirmed by anyone, but since it is such a big news story and since everyone aunts are talking about it, like this story became such a big thing, it has to be addressed. We're not confirmed, and that's important because I got so many tweets asking my opinion and I wanted to be clear on the show. It's not confirmed. I personally am very excited. I think she's a great Mary Jane.
She's fantastic.
She's perfect.
Who the hell cares Like, that's 2016. Insane.
To me, it's 2016, and right. I feel like this is the part where everybody's like, social justice warrior, and I say yes, because this shouldn't even be a conversation.
Our president is black. After that, you can do it.
Live your life.
Who cares?
These comics were written in the 60s and 70s when everyone was white in comics. Her being a redhead should not be a thing that is held on to as the only thing that is her character. She's gorgeous, she's spunky, she's... the life of the party. Those three things to me are Mary Jane and this girl.
Exactly. And look, we have turned Jesus Christ, who was a Middle Eastern man, into Steely Dan in a robe. And we're like, nope, that's the way he is. And we're going to complain about Mary Jane? What? Come on.
And also the idea that we cast an actress that's age appropriate, that is actually model pretty, so it fits the character. Right? And that it actually, that spunky type sensibility, to me, and Kristen Dunst is great. But to me, she was never Mary Jane.
No.
And that's just me. And I never, through all three of those movies, felt like she was Mary Jane. I didn't feel she had the look. I didn't feel she had the sensibility. To me, having seen not a single frame, and once again, this not being confirmed, I think Zendaya is more Mary Jane than Dunst ever was.
Honestly, in the original trilogy, the only one that felt like, oh, that's the character is J.K. Simmons.
Right.
That's the only one that's like, oh,
he's still Jonah. Like, even if they get a new guy, even if it's Nick Offerman, which is my dream cast, I still will see J.K. Simmons.
Absolutely. So other than that, I mean, no one is like, oh, this is the only person that can play this.
And to me, Tom Holland is Spider-Man. That 20-minute Spider-Man movie is the best Spider-Man movie we've ever had.
He was great.
Right. So if they're going to keep going this way with casting, I think it's perfect. I think it's been very controversial for no reason. Like, so many people tweeting me and being upset, and this whole, like, I get the attachment to her being redhead, because that is an important part of her character, but it's not more important than her being cast with a talented actress that can play the part that is as beautiful as she's supposed to
be. You should be more upset that Andrew Garfield was Spider-Man than
after all these years. Yeah. I mean, Kirsten Dunst, was a blonde, they dyed red, and then they cast Bryce Dallas Howard, who's a redhead, and dyed her hair blonde. Right. So if we're going to be upset about hair color in the Spider-Man universe, go back to Sam Raimi.
Right, dye her freaking hair
go
red.
Go nuts if that's the thing.
The chat wants you to know that it's Zendaya.
Oh, thank
Zendaya.
You. I've said it wrong for a long time. Zendaya, really.
They were very upset.
Oh, well, I apologize, everyone, and thank you for correcting me. I've been saying it wrong my whole life since I've known about her for 2 years.
There's also that some people are thinking that this could be that they might lean in the direction of the Spider-Gwen universe and make her a rocker since Zendaya is a singer.
Oh, yeah, dude.
I'd be down with that.
And because she was announced with the name Michelle. When they said who she was playing.
Right.
Markia, she sent in her theory from her broken down car. and she says, my theory is that Michelle is Zendaya, that Zendaya plays, is going to end up being called Mary Jane because she'll take that as her stage name.
Ooh.
Interesting.
Well, because Mary Jane always seemed like, you know, not quite a real name, so both of these ideas work.
Yeah.
I love that idea. And Zendaya can do no wrong as long as she's still the character she plays in her other work.
If you're upset about that, you're a dumb nerd.
Yeah, it's just like, be a smart nerd. We're smart. Like,
I don't consider liking this stuff to be nerdy, but if you are upset that's like, well, I think everyone in a movie should be white, you're garbage.
Go back
and
watch The Big Bang Theory and stop watching Marvel movie news. You know,
nobody cares about anything.
Watch some other fake geeks talk about fake geek stuff on the biggest show in the world somehow.
Is there really people upset about this, or is there like, because this is normally what happens, there are like three or four people that are upset,
right?
And then there are 1,000 articles written about it,
and then it becomes
then
a thing
like,
that are
upset. Well,
I gotta be upset.
Thing.
Well, it's like the Captain America thing where they're like, he hailed Hydra at the end. I was like,
right,
guys, give it a month. There's a number two issue coming out.
it's clearly
a plot twist. Like, it's like someone that had never read comics was like, issue one, that's the whole thing. That's how it is. Like, and it's like, no, there's more. It's a comic. So I feel like this is that. Like, someone got mad and then...
I like to hope that it's a very small percentage of people that are upset and it's just having a spotlight put on it. I'm going to hope that.
I just think that people that are upset are louder.
Exactly.
And that's the difference. And I like to think that people that are ignorant are a smaller portion of people that are not. So I'd like to imagine it's like 10 people that are really loud, someone else. I'm excited. I think she's going to kill it. I love this cast. I have been very vocal about my love for how diverse a school set, you know, in New York should be, and how they cast not only children, but they cast, it looks like every screenshot looks like a school in Midtown. Like, it looks like that's how it would be. And the comics now are not just a bunch of white kids running around, and it's not realistic. Like,
I like in movies when they have high school kids, and every single person there is beautiful.
Yeah.
Like, everyone looks like they work at Abercrombie.
I watched Bring It On again the other day because I was thinking about the Dunst thing, and I was like, right. There's a Dunst movie I like. I'll watch that one. And I was just like, man, this modeling high school is just so stunning.
Everyone is gorgeous.
Like, the Compton High School is gorgeous. The, like, upper class high school is gorgeous. I'm like, everyone. No one has skin problems. No one's overweight.
Nope.
Like, it's a must be nice.
Even the teachers are gorgeous. Yeah.
And they're, like, only 5 years older than the students, which asks right. a lot of questions.
Right.
So, well, let's live in the real world, and let's live in the real comic world, and embrace the fact that they cast someone that's perfect. And they probably held a broad casting net, and then...
You know, I've heard that. I've heard that they do quite a bit of casting for Marvel superhero movies. Yeah.
I mean, I know... do they? We have this show to talk about it. I know five different friends of mine went out for Mary Jane, and none of them look alike.
Oh, really?
So, for me, that's great. And to me, that means they actually cast the best actors for the job, which is the only thing that should go into casting, is if it is the character and if they fit the role.
Are you saying your friends are bad actors?
I'm saying... You heard it here first, folks.
Name names.
Broad, six. They're all at an Evanescence concert right now. And James Gunn had this to say on the matter. Quote, for me, it's a character's primary attribute. The thing that makes them iconic is the color of their skin or their... For me, if a character's primary attribute, the thing that makes them iconic, if the color of their skin or their hair color, frankly, that character is shallow and sucks. For me, what makes MJ MJ is her alpha female playfulness, and if the actress captures that, then she'll work. And for the record, I think Zendaya's even matches that, what I think of MJ's primary physical characteristics. She's a tall, thin model, much more so than the actresses they've had in the past.
Well, yeah, imagine being like, well, she's a really bad actress, but she has red hair, so I'm
that's
good.
That's it.
I'm all set then.
No. And that's what's always like with fan casting. I see fan casting go one of two ways. It's either the person that is like their favorite actor and they don't fit the role at all.
Right.
Or it's someone that they saw in a magazine once that looks like what they think the character is. And right. They might not be able to act.
Yeah.
So I'd rather it be neither of those things than just actually cast.
Yeah. It's crazy.
Like I half jokingly put Ben Foster in everything because I love Ben Foster and I want him in every movie. But if I actually thought Ben Foster would play all these roles, that's not fair to casting.
Yeah. Oh, Edward James almost would be good Spider-Man because
talent. Like, no. So there is a call sheet floating around while we're on the Spider-Man topic that, to me, this doesn't look like any official call sheet I've ever been on. I've never seen a set list when I'm on set that looks like this. Some people have said it's legit.
I can't speak to the legitimacy of this thing, but I have done call sheets and seen call sheets that look like this. This is just the, like, people who are called for the day.
No, I mean, I've worked on a lot of sets, and I've been called on the day. It's just, it's usually not this font, it's usually not this color, not this size. Like, this isn't the industry standard, which makes me think it's illegitimate, but... It's been going around enough, and we like to talk about rumors because it might be real, and it brings a lot of interesting things to the table because it lists a lot of our characters that we didn't know who they might be, and there are a lot of, like, deep cuts into Spider-Man lore. One of the ones I thought was interesting was, can we pull that up on the, is it on the, is it Biggin? Thank you, sir. Number 29, Tiffany Espenson is apparently playing a character named Cindy.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not sure if this is Cindy Moon, but if it is, that's Silk in the comics right now, who's a brand new character who would be very exciting to have involved. There's also, I love that Abraham Atta's playing a character named Abraham. I don't know if that's real or not, but I just think it's really funny to, like, keep it.
An interesting note on the Cindy Moon thing.
Mm-hmm.
So a fan sent this to me. yeah, I believe his name was Ian. I don't have his Twitter handle in front of me, but the actress,
mm-hmm.
Tiffany Espenson,
yep.
Followed Robbie Thompson, was at the time when this came out, who is the writer
of
Silk.
Yeah.
So take that with whatever giant grains of salt
you
want.
All of the salt you have.
Yeah.
I don't know if I believe, this just feels too convenient.
This is, and literally, I would write this up as like, who do I want to play what? Like, it's
right,
just, it doesn't
right.
look like a call sheet.
No.
It's literally an Excel spreadsheet with numbers and things in it. It just, I don't think this is legit.
What's the original source? Does it track down?
Internet. This came from the internet.
Well, in that case,
a Tumblr scoop.
Well, then it must be true.
But if it is true, which I, once again, this is a 1% chance of being true in my heart because it doesn't look like a call sheet to me. Bokeem Woodbine is listed as Shocker, but Shocker number 2, which is interesting to me. If if that means anything. And lastly, people are saying that of the big rumors, Salinas Leiva, it says Miss Warren, and there have been rumors that would be somehow related to Miles Warren, who was a teacher at the school, and also a little villain named the Jackal, who cloned Spider-Man.
Not the Richard Gere movie?
Not the Richard Gere movie. Okay. That's the spinoff, or leaving out of the Marvel Universe.
And Shocker is not the Wes Craven movie.
No, nor is it the... so, I was going to go places the PG-13 audience wouldn't appreciate. So, I mean, I don't know if any of this is going to be a thing. I personally don't think so, but I felt it was worth mentioning because it's Spider-Man and the internet is very excited.
They did add a new cast member as well.
Oh, yeah, that's right, today.
One more... known for Halt and Catch Fire, her name is I'm gonna have Jonah Zhao.
Cool name.
Yeah. This is her.
Do we know who she's playing or any rumors?
No.
Okay.
No
she's
one has
playing
said
Spider-Man.
She's Spider-Man, confirmed. Mackie confirms. It looks to me like she is a little older than high school. But who knows? Maybe she's a teacher. And the last, I moved a little too quickly. I forgot to mention one that is very exciting to me. Kenneth Choi is playing Principal Marita, and he played a character named Marita in Captain America, the first one. So does that mean that he is playing his own grandfather slash his own grandson?
That's weird.
Right? They cast a man who was already in Captain America set in the past and is the same character name as a principal.
Do you think he'll play like an older, like a different... Wow, how is that going
to
work?
He'd have to play his own grandson.
Yeah.
Because it's like the 40s to now.
Yeah.
If so, they're going to use him, like at least, they should do at least something.
I think
like
that's hilarious. I think because that happens all the time. Like we have that actress that's in both Luke Cage and was in Civil War, but she's not playing the same character.
I like him, the idea of him coming in with like a sideways hat, eating like fruit by the foot,
yeah,
and a skateboard. And he's what like, up, well, kids? Hello.
Yeah, he's playing a student the whole time. Yeah.
A teenager.
Hello, young ones. I love that he's playing potentially the grandson of himself, and I think that's a really weird way to have continuity work.
Where are the Pokemons?
Are you guys playing the Pokemon Goes? So I think that's it for Spider-Man. Thank you, live chat, for correcting my pronunciation. And let's see here.
Wait, how did they correct their pronunciation via text?
They wrote it out like, with like the cap. Yeah, and did the whole thing. Like, it was like 10 of them. They went
nice.
At it. We have the coolest thing that we have a group of like 1,000 comic fans that aren't mean. Like this.
That's yeah. I've been seeing a few of the comments, and they're nice.
It's like positive. Like Marvel movie news. Somehow we found this corner of the internet, and we kind of cultivate it. Like anytime there's a troll, they're gone, and we have a very strict policy of that. But like we have a corner of the internet that's positive. They encourage other people to read comics, and everyone's like really like it's amazing.
Well, guess what? They suck.
That's it. Go listen to Evanescence. So yeah, thank you guys. Appreciate it. And then
they're wonderful. I was just kidding.
It's
they're
crazy.
Great. They're great.
I've never seen anything like it. I'm on Screen Junkies a lot for movie fights, and man, those YouTube comments are not your YouTube comments. Tell you what, they hurt. Deep cuts. Actually, no, there's one guy that's amazing. There's one guy that whenever I movie fight or TV fight, there are literally thousands of comments because it's these things. One guy always finds every single thing I appear on, and he goes, one koi equals one dislike, and I always manage to see it, and he's now my new favorite fan because he finds more stuff than my mom does. Like, he takes more time. I'm like, this guy.
I think they hate me on that show.
On movie fights?
Yeah, because I went, Max Landis is a buddy of ours, and he was like, oh, come on with me, and I went on. And I was like, oh, I'm going to do bits for everything. Like, I had joke answers for everything. And I didn't realize how serious they take it.
It's a thing, man. It's like a boxing round.
Oh, yeah. It's so serious. And I was like, they were like, what would you do for the next Fast and Furious movie? And I was like, Kid Rock comes out. And it's like, just, they fly into space. Like, just so over the top. And the guy was like, all right, I'm going to go hang myself in the back. Like... They probably don't hate me, but
High stakes.
But
high
I'm
stakes.
Not going to be back on.
I mean, it's a very special thing. I love movie fights,
they're
but
great,
I knew
great.
Going into it that it was like that serious. So I always research and I like brush up the night before. I'm like the guy that's like, okay, I'm training.
They're like, what movie would you make a zombie movie? And I was like, My Girl, because then Thomas J could come back after the bees. And they're like, no,
so that's
we're
another,
not.
Doug Benson's
that.
Movie interruption esque con. I'm into that. I support it. Our last bit of news for the day. Big one for Runaways fans, and Runaways has been something we've been talking about on this show for weeks, especially lately because everybody wants me to fan cast it, and I have not finished reading it yet, and I have to... fan casting I love, but I don't like doing it when it's something I haven't read because I don't like just doing by look,
right?
Much like Mary Jane.
What if she has red hair? What,
cast her.
Wait a minute.
Every redhead.
Carrot Top.
Get a red. He's Mary
My
Jane.
My God.
So I want to read it. I want to get the sense for the characters before I fan cast it. But it is officially coming to Hulu, which is cool.
Nice.
Because that means they're trying to build their own network. They've got a great series of original broadcasting, but this seems to be bigger than that. Like, they've got, like, the Aaron Paul show.
The Path is great.
Like, they've got good programming, but nothing like superhero. Like,
that's interesting. Yeah.
So it brings a different audience, because I think Hulu is more adult television. Like,
I think so, too. I think so, too.
Runaways is a very young show. It's going to be, like, a PG-rated, because it's a very young audience. So they have Josh Schwartz and Stephanie Savage, who are the Gossip Girl and OC creators, as the showrunners, which
makes
fits
sense.
The tone yeah. pretty well. And those shows both did incredible. Whether or not they're your style or not, they did huge numbers.
Gossip Girl is my thing.
I get that. It brought us a lot of great actors. It was a good decade. So
I have no idea.
That's... I have a lot of friends that watch Gossip Girl, so I believed you 100%.
I have never seen it.
But I mean, the OC got us Chris Pratt, I think. Like, these are shows that bring a lot of actors to, like, the forefront. So Runaways is by Brian K. Vaughan. It's about teens that discover their parents are all members of an evil crime organization called The Pride, and that they are all working for Gaborim, a trio of elder gods trying to take the world back from themselves. So it's a really cool take on the superhero thing, because it's about sons of evil, like, and daughters of evil. These are kids attached to it, like, through lineage.
Well, as long as they cast all white people, I'll be fine with it.
Save the ink on the page.
Give me the whites.
Yeah, it's just insane to me, man. The Spider-Man thing. So the original team is Alex Wilder, Nico Minoru, Carolina Dean, Gertrude Yorks, Chase Stein, and Molly Hayes. So those are all names I butchered, but that is the original team. We'll see if it happens. We know literally nothing except for that the show is happening and that it's Hulu and who the showrunners are, but we can extrapolate a lot from that. Like,
do they have a date?
Nothing. It's literally just announced. But the fact that those showrunners are announced gives you kind of a flavor for the show, which seems to be in line with what I gather from the book. And The Runaways, I think, is something that people have been gunning for forever. Brian K. Vaughan's brilliant. I love the writer.
It's long been on people's lists of, like, this show would be good on television, or this property would be good on television, because it's a team up of young kids.
Right.
All dealing with like, issues. It's a very diverse cast.
Mm-hmm.
And you can get a lot of latitude from without using their powers, just because they're going to have interesting dynamics being kids.
And Stranger Things was just so big. So if there's a show that's like, oh, it's all kids.
Right.
In these dangerous situations.
Now's the time.
Yeah.
Somebody in the chat earlier was like, fan cast, just Stranger Things cast.
I'm down with that.
Dude, just transfer those guys over. I am in all day.
You put the little boy that has no teeth in any role, and I will watch
that
movie.
He can play Mary Jane, and I'd watch that movie.
He can.
Like, Stranger Things was so impossibly good. I can't. It's been weeks, and I'm still riding that high.
Yeah, have you come across anybody that is really excited to tell you what they didn't like about it?
Oh, contrarians for the sake of...
Oh, God.
They're everywhere, man.
Well, I noticed it was a little heavy
in
on the 80s.
There was a cut... You don't say.
And I'm like, yeah. Do you think they're going to play, like, Ba with the Ba?
Yeah,
like,
that's the
they're
show.
They're obviously going to play 80s songs.
Yeah, that's what it's for. And in the live chat...
It wasn't like a BuzzFeed article where they were just listing things off.
They didn't just, like, eat, like, a fruit by the foot and look at camera. Yeah. Like, I didn't feel
Remember
like...
this rubric's cue?
This is so crazy. Like,
I've got a Teddy Ruxpin.
Plays the song at camera. It didn't feel like that to me. If Hulu can capture that kind of tone...
Oh, yeah.
They'll be a force to be reckoned with. And this might be their property to do it. Ethan Rowe, I saw your mention in the live chat. They're also rumored to have Hobgoblin as one of Spider-Man's friends, which would be cool to have him as, like, a kid and then to have them grow up and be rivals, which is similar to the Green Goblin scenario. And since it's still a rumor, I'm sorry I didn't mention it. But, yeah, the Hobgoblin idea is a crazy one, and I'm all about it.
A lot of people have been asking, why isn't The Runaways going to Netflix? And I think that was a very intentional choice on the part of Marvel. Because the Netflix universe is very contained.
And dark.
It's very dark. Yeah. And it's a similar reason I think that they didn't want... I mean, there's a number of business reasons why Agent Carter didn't migrate to Netflix after its cancellation.
Right.
But I think it partially is that Netflix has a very specific Marvel brand on their shows. And to put something like The Runaways, I think, would muddy that water a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Where, like, it's very much like the Netflix Marvel shows. It's Daredevil, Luke Cage, the... Jessica Jones,
right.
Iron Fist, like the Defenders, like that is what you're getting when you go to Netflix Marvel shows. And now the Hulu Marvel shows will be its own little corner. I would expect if it's going to cross over anywhere, probably Cloak and Dagger with Freeform, because I know that ABC has a good relationship with Hulu.
Well, and you're just creating a whole other brand for yourself. You know, you connect with a company totally besides Netflix, and you just create another world there. It's a smart move.
And it's smart for Hulu to be like, hey, subscribers. What if Marvel? Like, what about the largest empire in cinema?
That works
like,
for everybody.
I think it's so smart, and I think that this could be the chance for Hulu to be competing with Netflix. Maybe not fully, but like it's a good step in that direction.
And I believe Amazon Prime has the original Daredevil movie.
Amazon is keeping up great. Amazon's doing good with that. They just need the director's cut so you can experience it. So I think that's all the news for this week, which was a fair amount. There was actually a good amount of stuff going on. I want to give some shout-outs to the lovelies. Albert Albanese wants a birthday shout-out, and was wondering if we'll ever get Sentry in the MCU. So first, a very happy birthday.
Happy birthday!
Happy birthday. Sentry, I don't think we'll ever get in Marvel, in the movies, because he's very Superman-esque. He's kind of like... I've always said that Batman, this is giving me a lot of hate, and I'm sorry to generalize, this is very general. I've always felt like Batman was a Marvel character in the DC universe as much as Sentry was a DC character in the Marvel universe.
But you know what? There's a lot of characters that I've been like, oh, we'll never see them.
And then they
but
have.
As long as it keeps sticking around, I'd never say
I won't rule out anyone. I won't. I just don't think Sentry is soon because of the parallels, especially with DC trying to get Superman up and going, and like Flies has a cape. There's a lot.
It might not be the right time right now, but at some point I wouldn't be shocked at all.
I mean, I'm not against it. I just don't think right now.
So, maybe for your birthday wish, you could wish about it and it'll come true.
In the next few years on your birthday, Sentry will arrive. We can hope. Jocelyn just said, you just forgot the J is fine. You're not the first to mess it up and you won't be the last. Is your name... Oh, did we call you Ocelyn? Jocelyn. That wasn't me. That was probably Matt. Jocelyn with a J.
Lance, I love Jocelyn.
It's a cool name, right?
No, I mean that this person. I love her.
Because you came back to like sass and be like, with a J.
No, I love her.
You just know her? You know her well? Right. Love from Rob V. Lance Green said, hi, Matt. How's it going with regard for getting Kevin Smith to come on the show? You see, this proves I read everything because I have no answer to that because I'm neither Matt nor know if Kevin Smith's coming on the show. So I'm going to move on. Remarks, questions. Big fan of Follow You and Koi and Marvel Movie News. Any truth to The Runaways going to Hulu? Yes.
Yes.
That one I got. I have an answer to that one. It is true.
Nice one, Koi.
I was ready. Robert Meyer Burnett said, I sure can see her saying, face a tiger, you just hit the jackpot. That's true. Like that. She has that. Like,
I know.
That's
I
the
know.
Important part.
I know.
Thank you, and I agree. Good side of internet. Bono Eno Ono. Cool name. I watch Halt, incredibly pumped for Mackenzie Davis as Domino. Rumor is Mackenzie Davis from Halt and Catch Fire is playing Domino in the Deadpool sequel. So that show's just getting plucked. People just... I love that Marvel just sees a property they like, and they're like, what if we get like, everyone?
Yeah, just... We'll take all these
like
guys.
Creed, like the Creed movie, which is one of my favorite movies of last year. They're like director, actor, actress. Right, they just like scooped it up. Stallone. I think literally the whole cast of Creed is in Marvel now.
Wait, is Stallone?
Stallone's in Guardians too.
Is he? Oh, yeah. I haven't seen that.
Yeah. Rumor is he's either one of the Ravagers or one of the Nova Corps, but he's on set.
I love him. He's 300 years old and he's still just doing it.
He came back in a real way. Like, let's leave some of these for Matt because they're directed at Matt and that would make more sense. I just want to thank you guys for continuing to be the best corner of geekdom on the internet. And there is so much love on the Twitter. And I wanted to thank you guys for being logical about the Mary Jane thing as opposed to every HuffPo article because it got crazy this week. I think that she's going to be good. I think that we have a wonderful Phase 3/ like Sony Fox thing going. Like, I think that having all these studios in Hulu now, like literally Marvel's starting to be like, what if we take over the world?
Right.
And that's exciting. Like, as a comic geek since I was a kid, pretty cool. Anything you want to close out with, man? Anything you want to plug or talk about?
I mean, you can follow me on Twitter and you'll see everything I'm doing from there.
Yeah. I met Rob on Twitter about a year before I met Rob in person. And I met Rob via Twitter because I had tweeted a joke. This is one of my favorite friend stories of all time. I was sitting listening to Hotel California and I was like, man, this is like a Yelp review. And like, it was like just an extraneous thought. And I just like phrased it and threw it out there. And then all of my friends jumped on me like, that's this tweet from this guy, Rob Fee, and I know him. And I was like, it was one of those things where like a joke had been said. And you're like, I'm not stealing. It was just an idea. And then like within a week, I met Rob and was like, stole your joke from 3 years ago.
That's the worst thing, because you come up with a completely organic
thought. It was phrased totally differently, but it was similar enough that I could see it. Yeah,
and people are automatically like, you stole this.
This is a very famous tweet, and you're a thief. And I was like, and then like within the week I met Rob, and I was like, nice guy, similar humor.
I did that with a joke, and someone was like, good job, you also just watched the Patton Oswalt special. And I was like, what did he do?
What is the thing?
And it was like almost verbatim. And I'm like, I didn't do it on purpose.
I'm so sorry. Comedy is subjective. It's tricky. Plagiarism accidentally happens as much as it happens on purpose. So thank you so much, folks. This has been Marvel Movie News. The next 2 weeks, Matt is going to be in Burning Man. So I'm going to be trying to wield his very mighty cloak of levitation while he's away.
Maybe he can get somebody at Burning Man to fix his car.
Yeah, that guy. He stood in for me while I went to Africa Burn, so I'm standing into him while he's at Burning Man. So
precious.
Get your car fixed, Matt. Much love to you guys. We will see you next week. This has been Marvel Movie News. Hunt me down on Twitter. Bye.
Bye.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, Christian Harloff, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network. The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.
All right, hey. All right, good job, guys. Let's just not come in tomorrow. Let's just take a day.